Winnalee, thank you so much for that opening song, There Is Only Love. Let's imagine for a moment that that is the full total reality that we experience. There is only love. Not just for a moment that we're surrounded by these wonderful beings, but that there is an experience of life that is saturated in love. Some of you may have come from a Christian tradition where the word baptism is important to you. I've been about every denomination there is in the Christian tradition and then beyond. And the word baptism in some of the traditions that I've been close to has to do with full immersion. It's like getting completely down into the water and being held down in that water for a few seconds, that you want to come out of that water and like take a fresh breath. And so this going deeply into the baptism of what's called death, coming out into this baptism of spirit, we've been breathing in that spirit tonight deeply, breathing in that spirit of trustworthy love. Well, that baptismal kind of idea is really significant of the whole path of life, spiritual life, that we move into this whole reawakening, actually discovery of what trustworthy love is, and that it's completely surrounding us. Now, so many of these key phrases that have happened already this evening. The word consciousness, though, is just in our meditational singing. Now, I don't have the script for that, but I really picked up on that word, because the question that we wonder about is like, where did consciousness come from? I mean, how is it that we're conscious beings anyway? You know, and so as I've played with that thought, I've realized that for me, at least, consciousness is the result of the awareness of self in relationship to another. That is, I've come to a conclusion that consciousness itself is not possible without an awareness of interaction with another being. So for me, when I think of the word God or the word divine, I think of it as consciousness interacting, moving, connecting, beings connecting. So consciousness is a verb for me that has to do with an energy exchange. An energy exchange, there's energy that is moving within me, and there's an energy exchange moving within another being, and then there's this energy exchange happening. Trustworthy love is the way that that energy exchange happens in a way that both beings feel delighted in one another's presence. Yeah. So, for me, that begins to be the definition of consciousness. Now, another question I just put out there, like, what is reality then? And how is it that we experience varieties of reality, some of which feel like this baptismal experience into love, and some that don't feel that way at all? Like, how is it that there's realities that are not trustworthy love, or at least at a subjective sense of the word trustworthy love? How did that happen? And I imagine that a lot of the exploration of the spiritual stories and all the traditions is a way of trying to find out what's the sacred story that holds all of us together. And I appreciate, again, some of the words that came out of Marianne Williamson's the message that you brought out of her book, The Story of All Stories. That phrase I picked up. And so what's the story of all stories anyway? What's that? I've been using the word our sacred story to define the story of all stories. Now, there are so many stories, isn't there? How many of you watch Star Trek? You know, And the movie, and Star Wars, you know, I mean, actually, Star Wars is what I'm after. So, the first Star Wars movie You're plopped down into, as we discover later, the middle of a story, right? This seems like there is a lot of story that preceded that, and then there's story that comes after. And what made Star Wars then turn into a series of movies is like backtracking and trying to get to the earlier part of the story, right? Now, I've not watched all the Star Wars movies, but I do know what it feels like to be dropped down into the middle of a story. You know what I'm talking about? How many of you feel like you've been dropped down in the middle of a story and you're trying to figure out, how did I get here? And where did the story start? And how do I make sense of where I am? And there's so much conflict, it seems like, in this storyline. There's a lot of drama that we got going on in this story. It doesn't feel like the story of trustworthy love for most of us who have experienced untrustworthy love somewhere in the middle or the earlier part of our the last embodiment, you would want to say, of our story. And so here we are asking that question. So what is the story that holds all this together? Well, Jesus is one of the great storytellers for me. And he told this story of what we came popularized as the story of the prodigal son. You know that story? How many of you know that story? That's a pretty common story, isn't it? Okay. All right, so in the way that Jesus told that story, and I must say, in the patriarchal culture of his day, a father had two sons. Now, I just back up and say, let's tell the whole story. A father didn't have two sons. A father and a mother had sons and daughters. All right? Does that make sense? So we'll just kind of like, this is the bigger story for me. So with great honor to Jesus as a great storyteller, and who knows if that Jesus' own story might have started out by saying a father and mother had sons and daughters, and then the patriarchal tradition might have said, well, I was just going to say a father had two sons. But whatever happened with that story, I'm saying a father and mother had children. And some of the children decided that they wanted to get their inheritance. And by getting their inheritance, then they could take something that was given to them by the father and the mother, this wealth of gift, and go off and do their own thing with it. In a sense, leaving one reality, having some authority to go off and create another reality. And in so doing, leaving father and mother behind, in a sense, turning away from that original story, original reality. And then you know the rest of the way Jesus told that story. In the case of the son who left home, he ended up carousing and hanging out with a bunch of other people. And they were just kind of like living in this like energy exchange, really, where they lived off of one another until the resources ran out. And then that son, who thought he had these friends, turned out to be untrustworthy. And then he ended up in a trying to just survive, doing some work, slopping hogs and sleeping in a barn. And then it says he came to himself. What we often call awakening. He awakened and said, oh, yeah, there's a place that I forgot about, a reality that I've not been immersed in, that I should go back to. I was my father's son, but now I don't even feel like I'm a son anymore. Because I let go of that. In a sense, the way that I heard this story preached once is that when you ask a living father for your inheritance, you basically says, I'm going to treat you as if you're already dead. Yeah. So he awakened to the father again as being alive instead of dead, and he head back home. What the Bible often calls repentance, that is turning around and going back to the original reality. For me, that is a big story. That is a big story that captures how it is that some of us, and I'm going to count, I think I count myself in, because I've been in these messes that seem similar to the story of the prodigal son. And in the mess, I may have forgotten long ago that I was involved in a trustworthy reality at one point in my soul's life. But when I left that, I ended up into this, I'm going to call it the karmic kind of regurgitation of unlearned lessons. Yeah. Just keeps going on and on and on until we finally say, I think I'm ready to wake up and learn from my lessons. Yeah. The word intuition, that's a great word, isn't it? Now, it's made up of two words, in and tuition. Now, what's tuition? It's something you pay, right? It's something you pay for in order to gain some knowledge. It seems like I've been out here paying tuition, and I've had to go through the class a few times. You know, I have to keep paying the tuition until the intuition gets in there, you know. And the intuition is that which really reminds me of my first sense of being a member of a family of trustworthy love. Yeah. So, we have the word divine there, don't we? And I love the word divine. I play a lot with language. So I just say D-I, vine. Now, what's a vine? A vine. Now, you have vine, things are just vining around, aren't they? And a divine, I call it a divine, is a wrapping of two vines together. I'm just going to say that for a moment to get us started. I am a teacher of yoga and chakrology. Chakras, some of you may know what those are. There are energy movements in our body, which in many respects, the image, this double helix that we have as DNA. So we have, in a sense, two vines, Father and Mother, God and Goddess. I'm going to call it that because that's the way I feel this story in my heart. My child heart feels like my parents are God and Goddess loving each other as two vines coming together and creating this mystery of me. And the DNA, my divine nature is activated. DNA, divine nature activated because of their love for each other and for me. That's the Trinity of a being for me. And so in that Trinity, then there is a divining that is at the very core of my being. This helix of DNA that's dancing with each other. The sacred masculine, the sacred feminine, alive in this beautiful dance of being me, within me. Yeah. So that's divine. So that's how I name divinity for me. It's like that the two-ness becoming oneness, because that oneness is love, relational oneness becoming me. So I, in my child heart, feel good about being myself because I was formed by love, interactive love. Yeah. So, now it's very interesting that the word divorce is the opposite of divine for me. Now, divorce, what is that? Well, it's two and vorce, vortexes. We've got vortexes here. We got circles of energy. Now, we are all circles of energy here. We all have unique energy signatures, don't we? Each one of us are unique divine beings. That was in right here. I mean, we said it earlier. Unique divine beings. So we, in fact, are a vortex of energy that's uniquely us. Now, what makes us divine is when those vortexes come into divine relationship with each other. So those vortexes dance in harmony, in relational harmony with each other, and they create an energy exchange. And that energy exchange is divine. That is, there is a movement of your gift coming into my being, and a movement of my gift coming into your being. It's the yoga of relationships. It's the breathing in of one another's presence and then giving out of our being the gift to the other presence. That is divine relationship. So when that happens, then our being vibrates, resonates, activates divine potential. Because in the evolution, that is, I use the word love-olution, in the movement of this energy of relating to one another, there's new ways that these divine relationships happen that makes things interesting and new. Everything is renewed moment by moment as love dances its dance in relationship with one another. Yeah. Divorce, though, is when there is a separation of those energies. And that says, my energy really doesn't resonate with your energy. You know? But, in that, when that divorce happened in the prodigal son story, it's basically saying, I'm divorcing my family of origin, going off and doing my own thing over here in this, there's an energy exchange that happens over here in this non-love reality. I call it the parasite energy exchange. You know what I'm referring to? It's that we're just coming out of mosquito season, but those mosquitoes, they want some of your blood in order to survive, you know? So these relationships over in this so-called friends, the prodigal son with his friends, as their resources, because in this realm, the source, you're disconnected from source. Source energy is not creating newness of life, so scarcity begins to set in these non-love relationships. And in that, then there is a feeling of, well, I will take from the other in order to build myself up. But it's not a one source divine being exchanging energy with another divine being, tapped into the very core of beingness, of love beingness. That's disappeared. And so No wonder there's dramas that begin to happen. No wonder there's death and disease and lack and scarcity that begins to happen in this kind of a messy reality until we finally wake up. Now, I share a paradigm called the eight realities of trustworthy love. And I'm just going to share really briefly by just having you go through these eight realities with me. From these eight realities, capture for me the essence of what it would be to be immersed in trustworthy love, living in the reality of trustworthy love. Aspirationally, all of us, we wouldn't be in this room if we weren't aspirationally hungry to experience trustworthy love in all the dimensions of our life. So I'm going to invite you to take your left hand out, look at the palm of your hand. In the palm of your hand, think of that for the moment as infinite, unquenchable, trustworthy love. Yeah, manifesting in these four fingers. And I'm going to name each one of these. On this left hand, this, I refer to it as the primal or essential relationships of life. So, and they're all interconnected. You cannot have, in this sense, one finger without the other. They all come from the same source. It just is one way of looking at the way that we're experiencing life. So the first one, put that finger up, connect it with the thumb and a little mudra like that. And so in that I'm thinking of the thumb here as that which creates the infinity circle. Okay. That number one is the love of self. The body, soul, spirit relationship. The sense of self as a divine love being. Oh, gosh. How much frustration I've had in life because I've not experienced trustworthy love with myself. How many negative thoughts come through my head judging self. There's so much torment in my life that seems to become, it's there as a part of not loving myself. Yeah. Number two, and I realize that our time is rapidly moving forward. I'm assuming we're going to move through these. The second reality of trustworthy love is the love of friendship. When we got up and we sang that song and looked into one another's eyes, what a great gift friendship is. Where you can have one, at least one, it would be blessed if you have more than one, friendship. Where trust is happening, where you can receive the other's full presence without feeling judged. You can be that for the other person. The great gift of friendship. Number three, it's that experience of life which I think goes back to the very origin of the human soul for me, in love itself. And that is the experience of a father's love and a mother's love and their love for each other in the threeness of that trinity of being. Father, mother, child. Now, a lot of the stories that have happened in the non-love reality and the non-love reality we were born into is that some of us don't have good stories there. Some of us are hurting. Some of us have been a part of the hurting of our children. Perhaps. I know that's true for me. I've gone through divorce. My kids are victims of divorce. So this is where so much of my energy has been theologically. It's like claiming that reality. Because I'm a child advocate at the very core of who I am. I want children to grow up in homes where there's love happening. And if that love has not been happening in their home, I want them to find some sort of experience of father and mother presence in their life. Where their child soul can relax and be at home. Yeah. Number four is trust tribe love. I call it trust tribe love. It's that social group. This is a trust tribe here. I can feel it. There's probably several trust tribes in this group that are intersecting with each other, like links in a chain. Trust tribe are groups of people that get together at Thanksgiving and birthdays and come to the hospital. And are just there for each other in social and in meaningful times in people's lives. It's kind of, in a sense, the summary of household love, friendship love, and just experiencing itself in groups. Yeah. So that's four dimensions of trustworthy love. If we have those, we are really rich. If we're struggling one area of our life in one of those four, let's name that to ourselves and find a circle with whom we can begin to build those relationships more fully in our life so we can love ourselves, so we can have deep friendships, feel the father and mother presence surrounding us. And then, yeah. So the other side, the fifth one, on this side, there are four that are what I call the local to global to cosmic experiences of trustworthy love. Name them real briefly. The first one is our experience of being a participant in the local to global village and giving our gifts in the sacred economy. So I've also named this sacred economy or gift economy or the garden city because I link it with this feeling of sustainability, which comes in Numbers and number 7 in my sequencing here. But this has to do with how we each get freed up to give our love gifts to the whole world. Not just merely in the circle of these friends here, but how we live in an economic system. How are we going to transform our economic world? We show up by being our full divine selves in that, with all the support of this hand urging us to go out and give our gifts to the world. So that creates a sacred economy. That's a different than an economic system that's an energy exchange of non-love reality that's built on greed and corruption. It is a whole authentically new economy. Number 6. It's so much of what I know this group of people here and so many people are discovering. It's this intercultural, interspiritual harmony. It's a discovery that there is our gifts that are coming from every culture and spiritual tradition. And in the exchange, in deep exchange of love and care and listening, as these cultures and traditions begin to share back and forth, there's a detoxing of those traditions. There's a pure stream that begins to flow together from those traditions. And then we begin to say, hey, we belong to one family. We sang that song. We are one family. I was at the Parliament of World Religions in October in Salt Lake City. And I felt like I was suddenly in the global city right there. And I was excited and blessed because I realized I'm part of one family here. One family. There was a common language of love that was being spoken there. Number 7 is the language that's spoken between species and between all beings. As if the whole universe around us is animated with the spirit of divinity, all willing to give their gifts. All creatures, great and small, animals, plants, trees, the elements, the stars, the sun, the moon, all everything becomes this gift. It's paradise we're talking about here in number 7. It begins to show up as a reality, not just as an occasional retreat, but as a reality. And number 8 is this awareness that we are not having to do this by ourselves. You know, as we begin to move back home in this prodigal story, we begin to see that interdimensionally, there are other beings that come and are loving us, a father, mother presence, brothers, sisters, wherever these dimensional beings, ancestors that have gone before us, ascended masters, angels, all of these other beings who themselves have been re-imaged or restored in the fullness of trustworthy love, they're there for us. So not only is the Father welcoming the son back home, but there is a whole family that's saying, we're with you. We will help you find and discover the fullness of trustworthy love. So that's the 8th one. So all of this comes together at the heart. So everybody, for a moment, just come bring this back to the heart. These 8 realities. These 8 experiences of trustworthy love. Now in this prayer form, with our heads bowed, being aware that yes, there is a reality of trustworthy love that we are immersing ourselves into, that we're being restored into. Yeah. We welcome all of that back home into our being. May every fragment of our being be welcomed back home. May all ego that is not connected with love fall away so that the oneness of our being is connected to the oneness of all other beings. So that we, in our divinity, in the way that we exchange this love energy back and forth, can keep creating an ever new, novel way of experiencing love. We live in a time when there are so many around us that are afraid because trustworthy love seems to have evaporated, if there ever was any. We live in a political season where so much distrust is happening. There's so much ego at work. Let us avatar from the love reality back into the non-love reality. Let us be presence, the presence of the glory of divinity in these places that need our presence. Yeah. So let's hold ourselves closely in an embrace. Just wrap yourself in an embrace. Just breathe in. Breathe in all the love that's available to us. And letting go of all that which is within us that no longer serves us. With gratitude for one another on this journey. Let it be so. Amen. Aho. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm.